Well, let me officially say good morning to you. Good morning, Fairhaven. Great to see all of you. We are one church, if you don't know, in three different locations with four venues. And so I want to welcome Classics that's joining us right now in Springboro to the south and Northmont to the north. And there are many people that are now joining us online around the country. Some are on vacation. Some are just friends that we've made through the internet. And so I'm just going to ask you by applause, would you help me just welcome each other for all the different campuses that are joining us right now? Thank you for being with us. In all of our campuses, we gave you a program on the way in. If you just do me a favor real quickly before we dive into week two here, would you just take that program and turn it around to the very back, the bottom left-hand corner? I want to just give you a quick update. If you've been around Fairhaven for any length of time, we've talked about Reach, and I just want to give you a quick update. Reach is over in a sense. We've finished the projects. It's all done, and yet we said, Steve Ludwig, the chairman of our board, and myself, we stood here and said that if you needed a little bit more time to complete your commitments, or if you needed some time to jump in because you weren't here in the very beginning, I want you to notice that we have paid down some of our principal mortgage, which has allowed us, actually, to do some things for our student ministry, which is really, really exciting. And so I just want to say thank you on behalf of all of us here at Fairhaven Church for your generosity, and thank you for contributing and being a part of that so that we can do other things as well. This last Wednesday, we had more kids on a Wednesday night than we've had in a long, long time. And so middle school is getting it done, and it's awesome to see that. And so we're very grateful for that. And so would you help me thank those that are participating in Reach? Thank you. All right, grab your Bibles, if you will, and we're going to be in the Old Testament, so just get them open. If you want, turn to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel. We're in a series called Epic Legacies, 10 of them, and we're looking at stories in the Bible, and we're looking at stories that will help us to determine what we might want to have as our legacy. And I said to you, if you're 20-something, you're probably not even thinking about this, and the reality is you should. You ought to consider who you want to be at the end of your life because that is your legacy. If you're 80, you're probably thinking it's way too late for that. And I would say to you, no, it's not. Because really what you can do is make some changes, some transformations. You can turn some things around in your life and you can leave a legacy. Or you can continue in the path that you are and leave the legacy that you're already leaving in the lives of other people. Here's how we've said it in the last week as we started last week. Legacy is a life that's handed down that is worth living. We're not talking about material blessings here. We're not talking about materially blessing the next generation. We're talking about character. We're talking about how you in your character can leave inside of other people a life that's worth following, a life that's worth emulating, a life that's worth making sure that you mirror those characteristics. And so we're looking through and trying to find different things that we can think of as we look at these stories in the Bible and see these epic legacies of people who have left great things. We've been asking this question, and the question is, what will be your legacy? So this series is really centered around a question. What will be your legacy? As you look at your life and as you contemplate who you are, what will people remember you when you leave this earth? And one day we probably will all leave this earth. And so what will that legacy be? Last week, we looked at a guy named Demas, who was a co-worker of Paul, and he didn't do very well in his life. He didn't end well. And so we looked at his story and what Paul had to say about it, and we talked about how to finish well. In fact, if you weren't here, men, I spoke to men, even though it's applicable to women as well. We talked about eight things that you ought to consider in your life if you want to finish well. And if you weren't here, you may want to go back and tune in, and you can do that on our app or on the website, because as men, we want to make sure we finish well. Ladies, you want to finish well in your life. What will that take? We talked about that last week. This week, we're going to be looking at a man named Samuel. Actually, he's a boy. And here's the legacy that he leaves for us. He heard God speaking. And because he heard God speaking, it changed the trajectory of his life. It changed who he would become. It changed what he did. It was a game changer for him. And I want to think about that with you today, that God wants to speak to us in our lives. Jesus says this in John 10, 27. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." I want you to look at the statement for just a little bit. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples, and he's saying it to us today. He says, my sheep, that's us, right? This metaphor isn't something that you and I really know about. In fact, I can't think of one person at Fairhaven Church that has sheep. Anybody have sheep? I don't know of anybody that has any sheep. We have a couple of farmers that have some, you know, some cattle, but I don't know about sheep. And so Jesus uses this metaphor that really we don't completely understand, but he says this, my sheep, that's us, my sheep listen to my voice. If you're following him, you listen to his voice. He knows you, he says, and they follow me. Let me unpack that just a little bit quickly, and then I want to get into 1 Samuel and read the story of this young boy who heard from God and how it changed his life. And then I want to consider in our lives what it means for you and I to process the thoughts that we get every single day, that God can be planting thoughts in our minds. Let me unpack this for you. What is Jesus saying right here when he says this? That my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. What is Jesus really saying here? See, Jesus is saying a couple of really important things. First of all, there's a supernatural interaction going on. Do you realize that every single day when you get up and your feet hit the floor and you start whatever your day looks like, that God wants to have a supernatural interaction with you? That's pretty amazing right there. I get hundreds and hundreds of emails during the course of a day and week. Do you? Right? And many of them aren't even worth looking at. And we have all kinds of interactions that happen with our coworkers, our neighbors, our kids. If you've got kids, your spouse, if you're married, your single friends. We have all kinds of interaction. And Jesus is telling us that there is a supernatural interaction that can happen every day. He goes on in that verse to say that it's between the human and the divine. Do you realize that God wants to talk to you? Do you realize that God wants to give you thoughts that will help you in your life, making the decisions that you need to make, talking about your family, all kinds of things that happen in your life? He wants to talk to you about all those things. Jesus is also saying that it's an inaudible voice that comes from a triune God. It's a voice that probably nobody else will hear. 2 weeks ago, I talked to you about the fact that in my third grade, that God had put a hand on my shoulder in a prayer meeting, and I told you that whole story. It was an amazing thing. I've never had that happen again in my life, and I don't think anybody else in that room heard it. Certainly my dad didn't hear it. I thought it was my dad's hand. Turns out it was God, and God said to me, David, my hand is upon your life. I've never forgotten that. It was an inaudible voice. Nobody heard that, and God wants to talk to us. And it's an inaudible voice, and that's what makes it very challenging. And we're going to talk about how we can decipher God speaking to us in our lives. Jesus is also saying in John 10:27, that what God does is he registers thoughts in our minds. So as you go through the day, all of a sudden you'll have this thought in your mind that God will register a thought to say, why don't you say that? Or why don't you do that? Or why don't you consider this in your life? And he registers thoughts that can be a game changer in your life. And oftentimes when we go through life, we don't really trust it for a variety of reasons that we'll talk about in just a minute, and we struggle with it. But this is what Jesus is saying in John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. See, Jesus is saying that he registers thoughts in our minds and that God is speaking to those who love them. Jesus is saying something amazing in this verse, and if we can get our lives around it, this is really, really something that could change the legacy of your life, because you could begin to be in tune with what God wants to say. Now, if you're holding a Bible in your hand or a device in your hand, what we know is that God has already spoken, right? That's God's spoken word. We have historical documents of what God has said. We have wisdom letters in there of what people have written with God's inspiration. We have letters that were written to churches in the first century, and it's all inspired by God. We have God's spoken word. And you know, beyond that, what God wants to do in your personal life, the triune creator God, is he wants to register thoughts in your mind. Wow. Here's the dilemma that we face, though. Every day we get up and we have this thought in our mind that maybe we should help this coworker, or we have this thought in our mind that maybe I should quit my job and start a business. And I know a guy in this church that did that, and people thought he was crazy. We have these thoughts in our minds, and we have a big dilemma because we're wondering, well, was that really God, or was that last night's pizza, right, in our life? I mean, we're not even really sure. And this is what kind of makes us nervous about talking about the fact that God can register thoughts in your mind. About 2.5 years ago, my future daughter-in-law, who's now my daughter-in-law, she was having car troubles, and it happened over and over and over again. Her name is Dominique, and Dominique would have these car problems, and, you know, as thinking about her as my future daughter-in-law, I got concerned, and I got worried, and I kept talking to her about it, and I talked to my son about it, and there was one day in particular where she had problem after problem in the same day. And that day they came to the house, it was a Saturday, and I was watching soccer, which I love to do on Saturday. That's when European soccer is. You all should be watching that as well. And so I was watching soccer, and they showed up at the house, and Dominique was really upset because her car had kind of failed, and well, not kind of, it failed, and it was sitting on the side of the road. And I was sitting on the couch, and she sat right next to me, right here on the left, and she snuggled up underneath my arm, and she kind of put my arm around her, and she leaned in, and she just says, "My car's not working, and I need a car." And God registered a thought in my mind, and I said, "Well, honey, let's go get a car." And so we did. We got up that day, and I left the soccer game, and I went with my son, and we went to a place. A friend of mine, Matt, has a used car dealer, and we got her a great Subaru car. It was a used car, and we got her that car, and we came home, and I was so excited for her because, you know, God registered that thought in my mind. Now, my four sons, they thought it was just because she's a girl. It's a good thing I had four sons, not four daughters, right? I would be poor, and some of you are thinking, I have daughters, I am poor, right? How do we know? I mean, is God registering those thoughts, or is it just, you know, these emotions that we have? We're skeptical. The truth is, we're skeptical, and the reality is, we're skeptical because we hear people say, "God told me." I mean, we hear axe murderers that kill people, and they say, "God told me to do so." And we're like, what? There was a guy in Missouri in January. He was driving a tractor trailer, 33 years of age. He ran it full steam into a parked pickup truck at a red light, killed the two people and the dog that was in the car. And the officers asked, what happened? And he said, "God told me to hit that car." What? I had two ladies that came into my office several years ago. You don't know them, so don't try to figure it out. They came into my office, and one lady sat over here. They came in, and immediately one sat over here and one sat over here. I knew I was in trouble already, right? And so they came in, and I said to the ladies, I said, "Ladies, can we start with a word of prayer?" So we prayed, and then I said, looked at the lady over here. I said, "Well, why don't you start?" And she said, "Well, God told me that this lady over here is evil, and she needs to forgive me, and she needs to be a forgiving person. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that she needs to do." And I thought, wow, okay. So then I looked at this lady over here and I said, "So what do you have to say?" And she said, "Well, interestingly enough, God told me that this lady over here is a liar and she consistently is lying and is saying all kinds of bad things, you know, about me." And so I'm sitting there and I said, "Ladies, we got a problem here. Either God is lying or one of the two of you is lying," right? Now, if I was thinking a little bit clearer, I would have said, "Ladies, that's interesting because God told me today that two idiots were gonna come to my office." I didn't say that. So I said to them, I said, "Ladies, can we just take out the statement, 'God told me,' and can we just have a conversation? In fact, let's try that all over again." And so I had another word of prayer and I said, "God, help us here," and it turned out beautifully. But that's why we're skeptical, because we hear this all the time. "God told me so." And yet we see a great story in 1 Samuel. So if you have a Bible, why don't you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, I'm going to read this story for you. And this is an amazing story. It's amazing for several reasons, but it's a reminder to us that God speaks. He has spoken, that's why we hold the copy of the Bible, but he continues to speak, and the way he chooses to do that is through a supernatural interaction where the triune God registers thoughts in your mind, and he wants you to follow those thoughts because he wants to guide you in your life. And sometimes those thoughts, there's not much at stake, and sometimes there's a lot at stake. 1 Samuel chapter 3, let me read verse 1 and then stop. I'm going to make a comment and I'll ask a question I need your help on. 1 Samuel 3, it says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." I'll stop there for a few minutes. Let me make a comment or a statement first. It says, "boy Samuel." You might want to, if you like to write in your Bibles, Samuel here was about 11 years of age. He's probably a sixth grader, although I don't know if they had sixth grade way back then, you know, thousands of years ago, but he's probably a sixth grader. And you need to know that that's one of the reasons why we invite sixth graders to join us. And so if you're here and you're in sixth grade, you're in the right spot. Parents, listen up carefully because God speaks to sixth graders. He speaks to 11-year-olds. And so this boy here, that's why he's a boy, becoming a young man, is 11 years old, and his mom dedicated him to serve in the temple. And so he's in the temple, and the priest is Eli. That's the statement I want to make. Here's the question, because it says in there that in these days, the word of the Lord was rare and that there weren't many visions. Question, was it that God wasn't speaking, or was it that people weren't listening? Which is it? They weren't listening. See, it isn't that God stopped speaking. It was that they just weren't listening. They got too busy. They wanted to live their own lives. As a matter of fact, this all happened during the time of the judges. And if you know anything about that, it's when people did what they wanted to in their own eyes. Meaning, they didn't care about God. And so the first lesson we learn here is that if you don't care about God, if you're here and you have no interest in God at all because somebody just twisted your arm to be here, here's what I know about you. You're going to struggle with this because you don't even want to hear from God. I would challenge you that perhaps God wants to speak to you as well. Because right here, no one was listening to God. And yet God shows up in the life of an 11-year-old boy who becomes a young man. Let's read on. Verse 2. "One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see," so we know that he's becoming an older man, "was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out," meaning the candle that was in the temple there. "And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, 'Here I am.'" Do you think God spoke in a big, huge voice and it bounced off the walls of the temple there or that he, you know, did some miraculous thing, which he could do if he wanted to? No. He registered a thought in the mind of this young boy. "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and laid back down. Verse 6, "Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, getting a little perhaps aggravated, 'I didn't call you. Go back and lie down.'" Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. In other words, Samuel was a young boy, about 11, and he didn't fully understand what it meant to have a relationship with God. Here's the good news. The good news is that's all going to change in his life. And so let's not underestimate the 11-year-olds that we have, the 13-year-olds that we have in our midst here. Let's not underestimate them. God can do big things as he registers thoughts in their minds and can change the trajectory of their lives, and it's a game changer. So let's make sure we understand that. And so here it is, the third time, verse 8, "The Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there. I love that statement. Underline that in your Bibles if you have it. God was right there. He's not some distant God far away sending some indirect message that you and I can't understand. It says that God stood there. Eli and Samson, or Samuel, didn't understand this. I don't think they saw. I don't think Samuel saw God. He certainly heard God. We don't know, but it didn't say that here. And the Lord came and stood there calling as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Now, if I were to ask you today, in all of our campuses, how many of you have heard this story, my guess is that about 60 to 70% of you would raise your hand and say, you know what, I heard this from a Sunday school teacher, maybe my mom and dad, my grandmother taught me this story about Samuel who, you know, God called him three times and he didn't know who it was, and then finally he understood. I bet if I asked you, do you know what God said to Samuel? I bet less than 10% of us would know what God said. And what God said is really important here, and I hope to get to that in just a second to read it for you. If not, I'm going to paraphrase it for you, because God ended up speaking to Samuel. He registered a thought in Samuel's brain, in Samuel's head, that changed the trajectory of his life. It changed the whole country of Israel. It changed what happened in Eli, the old man's life. It's absolutely amazing. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But I want to talk to you about hearing God speak. Let's talk about that a little bit, and let's see if we can figure out and process a little about what we learned here in this story about the fact that God wants to speak to us. If you want, you can jot these principles down, because I think these are really important for us to understand how we can hear God as he speaks to us, as he whispers to us, as he prompts us in different ways in our life. See, the first thing I would say is this, that if you want to hear God speaking, we have to understand that you won't mature without hearing from him. I'm not talking about physical maturity. I'm not talking about emotional maturity. We all understand that you get older every day, and every day you get a little wiser because of experience and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual maturity. Do you realize that spiritual maturity won't happen simply by age? Don't raise your hand. How many of you know some 50-year-olds that are not spiritually mature? It doesn't happen by age. See, spiritual maturity happens when you risk following what God tells you to do, when he registers a thought in your mind, when he whispers something inside of you, when he tells you something in your heart, and you either follow it, you stop it, you start it, you go this direction, you enter into that relationship, whatever it is that God is saying to you. Because Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, I love them, I know them, and they follow me. And so maturity is really, really important here. This is a 10-year-old boy. Does God still speak to 10-year-old boys? Sure does. As a matter of fact, when you read through the entire Bible, you begin to realize that there are peoples whose lives leave amazing legacies. In fact, we're calling it epic legacies, because they heard from God. There was a whisper from God. There was a thought that God registered in their mind, and they followed it, and it was a game changer. Let me give you a couple of them, see if you can remember some of their stories. How about Moses? How about Abraham? Elijah, Esther, Daniel, Job, Peter, Paul, John, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Mary, teenage girl, Elizabeth, Gideon, Noah, all of them. They heard the prompting of God. They heard the whisper of God. They heard an audible voice in their head as God prompted them with a thought. And they followed it, and great things happened. When I was in the eighth grade, so I would have been about 13 or so, I went to a boarding school in Malaysia. Some of you know that. And at the boarding school, they would have twice a year, they would have these special, what they called spiritual emphasis week meetings. It was all week long. It'd go Monday through Friday. Then we'd have a break on Saturday, and then Sunday we'd come back at it again. It was a whole long week. You know, we'd go to services every single night. And I still remember distinctly in the eighth grade, I was sitting in the very back on the left side, and I've told this story, I think, once before, and I was sitting back there on a Friday night, and at the end of what the speaker was saying, he said, "Is God speaking to any of you? And if he is, I'm going to ask you to come up." And God registered a thought in my mind. And the thought was, go up. I thought, no, I'm not doing that. I mean, I'm 13. My friends might see this. And God kept registering this thought, go up. And it seemed like my legs were about 500 pounds. And with every strength that I had inside of me, and because of God's strength, I stood up and I walked forward to the left side of that auditorium. And I knelt down, and an adult came over and began to pray with me and say, "Hey, were you really impacted by the speaker today?" And I go, "Not really." And they said, "Well, why are you here?" And I said, "Because God told me to be here." And wisely was a lady. She said, "Well, then I'm going to leave you with God." And she walked away. And in that moment right there, because I had heard God register a thought, and I went forward, and together we were sitting there, and God said to me, "If you give me your life, I will do great things." And I thought, okay. So it was in that moment, in the eighth grade, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I surrendered in that moment, I surrendered my life, and God registered another thought, and he said, "David, I want you to be a pastor." Now, I want you to know, honestly and truthfully, at that point in my life in the eighth grade, I had known three pastors, and all three of them were uninspiring. All three of them were boring as all get out. All three of them were overweight, and yet they talked about discipline all the time. And I'll just be honest with you. I'm the least likely candidate to be a pastor. Is that I'm up there in the eighth grade, I thought, oh, God, no, I don't think so. Soccer, maybe, but no, pastor thing, I don't know about that. And he said, "If you surrender, will you give me your life?" And I said, "Yes, I'll do whatever you want me to do." And from that point on, I could give you point after point after point. As a young man, I remember God audibly speaking, registering a thought, whispering in my life. And you see, if you want to hear God speaking, you won't mature unless you hear him. There's a guy in our church here who has a special needs son, and he's a friend of mine. His name is Blair, and they were having a difficult time one evening getting their son to go to bed, and if you've got special needs kids, you know exactly, and you know, my wife and I, we've had an experience in our family, and he couldn't get their son to bed, and so he decided that he was going to get his son and just go take him for a drive at night. Because he didn't know what else to do, took his son, put him in the car, put down the top, it was a convertible, and took him for a ride. And he began to look over at his son, and his son had this humongous smile on his face. And God registered a thought. And the thought was, why don't you do this for other families? And so he started a nonprofit organization recently called JoyRideCars.org. I challenge you to go and look at the website. The story is there. It's an amazing story. And what he's doing is he's asking people who have supercars, like Lamborghinis and Ferraris and all these big supercars, to come together and give rides to special needs kids, and it's called Kids, Cars, Smiles. And my son had the opportunity this weekend, as they were doing an event even locally here, to ride in a Ferrari. I didn't get a ride. He got a ride. And he hasn't stopped talking about it since. And I wrote on my Twitter feed, he came home with big smiles, and that was the point. And I'm so grateful that he took a risk. He's taking a huge risk in his life. See, if we're not willing to take a risk because God registers a thought in our mind, we're not going to mature. We're not going to grow. Here's the second thing we need to learn about hearing God speak. You have to lower the ambient noise of your life in order to hear from God. You know what our biggest problem is? Busyness. See, busyness in our life, because we have responsibilities and all kinds of activities, and busyness in our life gets in the way, and then we don't even spend any time at all with this triune God who wants to have an interaction with us, and he wants to register thoughts and ideas and emotions in you. And that's why we talk a lot about having a quiet time. That's why we talk a lot about spending a few minutes with God, because those few minutes could be life-altering in your life. God could register a thought in your mind that could change the direction of your life, or the direction of a habit in your life, or the direction of an addiction, or the direction of a relationship, or the direction of an 11-year-old boy. And so you have to lower the ambient noise in your life. My wife and I, Kathy, we were on vacation, and we were kind of doing a vacation slash conference, and so we were overseas internationally, and I got a phone call that a good friend of mine, who was an elderly man here at church, his name is Mel, that he passed away. So the family sent me an email and said, man, we'd love for you to do this funeral. We'd love for you to be involved. And I was way overseas internationally. It would be really hard to get back, and even getting back in time. And I didn't know what to do, because I love this guy. He was a great friend of mine. Every single week I used to see Mel. I talked to my wife, and so we pulled away, and we spent a few quiet moments. And I just said, God, what do you want me to do? If you want me to leave, I'll leave. But if you don't, I need to know, because this is going to get complicated fast. And he registered a thought. Let me share you with the thought that he gave me. He registered the thought and said, it's okay for you to stay. You're going to see Mel again. So I wrote the family and I said, I don't know that I can come back. Would you mind if I wrote a letter and had somebody read it during the funeral? And that's exactly what we did. And you know what? I feel totally at peace on the inside, because God registered a thought. It's okay. You'll see Mel again. And I went with that thought. See, we have to lower the ambient noise in our lives in order for us to really hear God. Here's something else that we need to think about. You have to listen expectantly. How many of us get up in a day and say to ourselves, you know what, I can't wait to hear God today, because he's going to speak. And he will. He'll speak. He'll tell you what to say in a moment that you don't know. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, boy, I don't know how to respond to this? And then you respond and you're like, wow, that was not me. That could not have been me. That had to have been God who gave me the wisdom to say that. Those are the moments that I'm talking about. This is a Samuel kind of moment that you're having in your life. And we got to wake up every day and be expecting that God wants to say something. He gives thoughts. He registers. And because the triune God wants to interact with us in a way that can be life-changing and altering, it's incredible. We need to expect it to happen every day. The last thing I'd say is this. You can't afford to be deaf to heaven. You're going to miss so much if you do. Can you imagine if Samuel just went back to bed and said, you know, forget it? But that's not what happened. Look at verse 11, because this is what God told Samuel. So you know the story that Samuel heard God's voice a couple times, and then finally Eli says, it's got to be God. He's registering a thought, so go listen. And so God speaks to him, and he says this, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. You can read the rest of the story of Samuel. Samuel was used by God to be a prophet in the nation of Israel, and he called the entire nation of Israel to come to repentance and say, you know what? God is real. He can work in your life. And in fact, God used him to set up the very first king in all of Israel, King Saul. Samuel was the one that anointed him, because God gave him that responsibility. This 11-year-old boy became one of the most famous people in the history of that time, as God was using him. But then it goes on. It gets a little harder. It says this, verse 12, at that time I will carry out against Eli everything I've spoke about his family from the beginning to the end. You see, Eli was not being a good parent, and as a result of that, God had warned him over and over and over and over again. And you know what happened? Eli, who heard Samuel coming in at night, but wasn't even listening to the promptings, the whispers of God. And so this 11-year-old boy had to go to this elderly man and say, "You're blowing it." Wow. How many 11-year-old boys would do that? And that's exactly what happened here in this situation. See, you're gonna miss something that God has for you if you become deaf to heaven. You and I cannot afford to miss what God has for us. There was a family one, who felt God's call in their life to go over to Southeast Asia. They're from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and they went over to Southeast Asia. And they lived in Southeast Asia, and they served there for many, many years. Family two, they lived next door to each other in Southeast Asia. Family one, they left this country that they were serving in because of the war and so forth, and they had to leave. Family two escaped with their lives because the country was falling to the communists, and they were able to escape the country, and they left and they came back to the U.S. Family one had a daughter and many other kids. Family two had a son and a few other kids. Family one's daughter felt a prompting in her mind that God wanted her to be in Dayton, Ohio. And so she came, the daughter of the father came to Dayton, Ohio. The daughter had a son in her life, and they lived in Dayton, Ohio. Family two, they had a son, and when they came to California, lived in California, the son got a prompting in his mind because there were some Asians living in the Dayton area, got a prompting from a friend that he should come to Asia and start a restaurant. So he came to Dayton and started a restaurant. And this son had a daughter. The son of the daughter of the father met the son, the daughter of the father. Are you with me? And these two kids are in Dayton, Ohio, and they started dating. And 2 years ago, next month, I married them. The son is my son, and the daughter is Dominique, who I bought a car for because I think God told me to. Can you see all the promptings of what God did? Wow. I don't want to miss the next ones. I don't know about anybody else. See, God speaks. The question is, how do you filter all this? How do you filter? Is it God? Is it the pizza? Is it a late night? How do you filter all this? So if you miss everything else, don't miss this. Let me give you some filters, because this is really, really important to filter out so you know that it's God speaking. When he registers a thought, you know that it's God. Here's how you filter it out in your life. See, number one, the filter is, first of all, know that God is speaking all the time. He's speaking all the time. And so all the time there are thoughts that God will register. Sometimes those thoughts will be, you know, there's a lot at stake, and sometimes those thoughts are not so much at stake. In other words, God just wants you to affirm somebody, or God wants you to just, you know, say something nice. There's not a lot at stake there, but you should follow it. Sometimes there's a lot at stake, because it might be that he wants you to quit your career and start another one, or he wants you to begin a business, or he wants you to marry that girl or that guy, or sometimes there's a lot at stake here, but God is speaking all the time. Here's the second filter. Does it align with Scripture? Keep in mind, God has already spoken. And when God registers a thought in your mind, does it align with what he's already spoken? That's a great filter to know, because God will never say something against what he's already said. Am I right, church? Amen. He won't do that. Here's a third filter. Third filter is prayer. Prayer affirms what God is saying. See, when there's more at stake, let me tell you, there ought to be more prayer. Because if God is registering a thought in your mind that's going to be a risky thought, a thought that's going to require a lot of obedience, a thought that might be very difficult, you ought to throw a lot of prayer at it, because it's in prayer that God can affirm that he's spoken to you and he's whispered to you and he's prompted you over and over again. Prayer is amazing. And then, fourthly, wise saints will agree with it. You ought to have some older, wise saints in your life. You ought to have people who you know are walking closely with God that you can trust in your life, that you can say, you know, God gave me this crazy thought. Can I pass it by you? That's exactly what we see here. Unfortunately, Eli, there was part of his life that was really good and part of his life that was really not so good, and yet Eli was wise enough to say to Samuel, I think that's God. And it was. So this is a filter that you can use. Find people in your life. If you're 20, find somebody in their 40s. If you're 40, find somebody in their 60s. If you're 60, find somebody in your 80s. If you're 80s, find a friend. But find somebody who can agree with you. And then lastly, a filter, God will confirm it over and over. As you take a step in that direction, God will confirm it. As you take a step in this direction, he begins to confirm it over and over in a variety of different ways. You see, when there's not much at stake and God says, just have a word of affirmation, and you say to that person, you know what, I'm so glad that I get to work with you, you'll walk away and have this overwhelming sense of joy, God's confirmation. You know, when God spoke to my wife and I in moving to Dayton, we landed here and there was amazing joy because we knew that we had heard the prompting of God in our minds. And I'm glad we did. And so God confirms it over and over and over again. So really, here's the filters, and so here's the prayer. Okay, here's the prayer. We're going to end here. The prayer is this: Lord, give me the ears of Samuel. Give me the ears of Samuel, that we might hear what God says. It's a game changer. In small and big ways, it's a game changer. Would you just bow your heads with me for a minute, only just to remove distractions? And just for the next 2 minutes, if you're a guest, nothing strange or weird is going to happen. We do this after every service. We just give you 2 minutes to think about what you've just heard. Not from me, but from God. And hopefully he has registered a thought. Maybe he's whispered. Maybe he's prompted. Let's be sheep that listen to his voice and follow. Father, I thank you for every person here and all of our campuses. I thank you that we have 11-year-old boys and girls, young men and women. I thank you that we have every age here. And I thank you, Father, that you want to talk to all of us. It's amazing that the God of the universe knows us and that you desire to give us promptings in our mind. May we have the ears of Samuel. Speak to us now as we listen to you.